1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The four-day ceasefire is holding, and the wait is underway for news from the Middle East, where Hamas is expected to release about 13 hostages in exchange for Israel's release of Palestinian prisoners and allowing supplies into Gaza. ABC's Matt Gutman is in Tel Aviv.
Israel says it has already begun transferring Palestinian prisoners from its jails to the West Bank, but we understand they're not actually going to be released until 2 hours after the hostages return. Now, multiple agencies already telling me they're concerned the number of hostages returned will not be the same as the number on that list. Everybody here using the same phrase, it's fluid.
The freed hostages will be debriefed by government officials. They'll receive medical exams and then be allowed to speak to their families. The World Health Organization is monitoring recent outbreaks of respiratory diseases among children in China. Chinese authorities blame the rise in cases on China's first cold and flu season since the lifting of stringent COVID restrictions. This is ABC News.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows like...
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After binging on today's Black Friday sales, Wisconsin leaders are urging people to spend the rest of the season shopping small. Now through December 31st is Shop Small Wisconsin season. Governor Evers says shopping locally benefits local economies and communities overall. More people with disabilities are flying than ever before, and they're filing more complaints with federal authorities. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says air travel needs to be more accessible.
When the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, it really mandated that most modes of transit adopt modalities that would make them more accessible, and air travel was given a pass.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A holiday tradition continues with an expanded schedule this weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years. The first featuring college teams, Yale and Princeton. The NFL, National Football League, took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became host to the yearly game. And the Packers kicked off one of the longest runs as a regular Lions opponent on Thanksgiving. A few games stand out, and some football experts point at the 1962 matchup. An undefeated Packers team lost in Detroit when the Lions beat Green Bay 26-14 after sacking quarterback Bart Starr 11 times. The Packers and Lions also hold the record for one of the holiday games with the highest score. Green Bay won this one in 1986, 44-40. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 28. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 18 tonight, cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 30. A dusting of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 18.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. 6 minutes after 11 o'clock, Greg Bach in studio with me, Kelvin on the board, and we are delighted to have our guest, the co-founder of Milwaukee Record, Matt Wild, is joining us this morning. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Hello, Jane. Very nice to be here. Hello, Jane. Hello, Greg. Nice to see both of you this fine, drizzly morning.
It's been a while since we've had you on the show. It's good to see you again.
It has been a while, so I'm just curious which guest dropped out at the last moment that you had to come to me. But
no, Matt, that's not how this went.
Happy to do it.
No.
I'm like,
we were after you the whole time.
Yes.
I feel like I'm the Regis Philbin of local media. Like, if someone drops out, just get Regis.
No, that's Tyler. Tyler's the Regis.
Thank you.
There you go. No, actually, the reason why you're on, you were the, like, when I saw this, I reached out to you immediately because I saw that you made the trek to Costco in New Berlin, was it?
Yes, New Berlin Costco. Yes.
What did you do? Why did you go to Costco in New Berlin? And I have to imagine at a very early time too, right?
Got up bright and early to go a couple of weeks ago to the New Berlin Costco to attend a vodka signing by the one and only Jason Momoa. You may know him as Aquaman. You may know him as he was in Game of Thrones too. I never watched Game of Thrones, but Aquaman himself.
Yeah,
was doing a tour of the Midwest, signing bottles of his own premium vodka, and he made an appearance at the New Berlin Costco, and I just had to be there. Really, I couldn't miss it. It's kind of the story years ago for Milwaukee Record. Years ago, 50 Cent did something similar. He came around and was selling bottles of his own vodka, and I attended this vodka signing years ago for 50 Cent. I wrote a kind of minute-by-minute recap of it for Milwaukee Record, and for whatever reason, that has become like a real signature piece for Milwaukee Record and myself. When I die, that stupid article will be on my tombstone that I waited in line for 8 hours to get a signed bottle of 50 Cent vodka.
You waited for 8 hours?
It was about, 7-8 hours that time. The Jason Momoa, happily, not 8 hours.
From what I understand, though, there was a little hiccup because from what I've been told, you can go to Costco and buy alcohol without a membership because you can't, I guess there's like a Wisconsin law, you can't have like a membership type of thing. I can walk in there, buy beer and leave. They don't have to card me. But that's not what happened with you.
No, I was in line for about an hour, and then a Costco employee was kind of going through the line, talking to everyone, asking if everyone was indeed a Costco member, because you apparently needed to be a Costco member to, you know, get inside and get your bottle of vodka signed by Jason Momoa. So I panicked, and I quickly hopped on my phone, and I'm, trying to sign up for Costco. Now, I'd been kind of live tweeting this the entire time, and my wife, who was out of state at the time, she apparently saw my tweet and then immediately called me and said, you are not signing up for a Costco membership, are you, just to get the signed bottle of Jason Momoa vodka? And I said, too late. It's, you know,
it's done.
We're members. We're in. So
you
I'm
get the
a proud
executive membership.
Yes, I'm a proud card carrying member of Costco now.
Yeah.
And I still need to pick up some windshield wipers from there. So I'll be back.
Well, they're in packs of 50, so you'll be fine.
Perfect.
So saw the pictures. You got a picture with him. Did you get to talk to him at all? Did you get to like have a moment, or was it just boom, boom, done?
It was a moment. No, I mean, the real reason I go to these things, that I went to the 50 Cent one and this one, is not so much that I care so much about the celebrity. I certainly don't care about the vodka, but I just go for the weird, like, you know, inline drama that, you know, manifests throughout the morning and afternoon. And that's really why I'm there. But there was a little hiccup at the end. There were, you know, like 8,000 people waiting in line for Jason Momoa. And near the end, there was some sort of executive decision to say that, okay, we're not, you know, taking people inside the store anymore. He, in fact, is going to come out and kind of hop next to everyone in line for a brief moment. And you were able to take a selfie with him. For that brief moment that he was there, and he just like went down the line person by person like that. And so, you know, they were like, all right, get your cameras ready, put him in selfie mode. Here he comes.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he, you know, hopped down the line and there he was suddenly right behind me. I don't know if I put this in the article. I did, you know, of course, a minute by minute recap of this, you know, incredible event. And the one moment that sticks in my mind when he was right behind me, he did this like real quiet kind of like, yeah, sound like in my ear. It was kind of creepy, kind of, I don't know. Maybe he did it for everyone, but he gave me a little, yeah. And then he moved on.
That's a man who just loves his life.
No kidding.
I mean, he's living the most charmed life. And I love how much he embraces that. Besides all that, well, I would have been, the first thing I would have been like, hey, can I get my money back for my Costco membership? I got what I needed.
It turned out I didn't need the Costco membership because he came outside. So I'm still smarting from that.
I'm curious how Jason Momoa's vodka compares to 50 Cent's vodka.
Well, that's the thing. And that's kind of the most ridiculous part of this whole story. I was in line for about 3 hours waiting for him to do this, waiting to get my bottle of vodka. He comes out. We take the, you know, quick selfie with him and he moves on. And I guess I was kind of so starstruck or something that I was like, well, that's it. And I just hopped out of line, hopped in my car and drove off. And it wasn't until minutes later that I realized, oh, I didn't go inside and get the stupid bottle of vodka. So I came away vodka-less. I have the selfie.
That's like an episode of a sitcom right there. I mean, that's right. Like, that's beautiful. that's so great. By the way, everyone who's listening right now and watching on the live stream, we are talking to Milwaukee Record co-founder Matt Wild about a wild story. See what I did there? That's radio there.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
Thank
very
you,
nice.
Rich. And also Calvin behind the boards let us know that his name on Game of Thrones was Khal Drogo, which I knew, I just forgot. So that was his character. So you had that wonderful experience. That was really cool. So Esther Flones, who is a local drag queen, hosts a series of drag bingo events around the city. I help out with one at Lakefront Brewery. We were talking about that. I think it was the night or two nights before he showed up, Jason Momoa showed up, and she said, I'm going there in full drag at 3 a.m. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Cool. So I sent her a text the next day. I'm like, did you go? She goes, oh yeah, I'm in line. Oh no. I sent her a text saying, I see you're in line because you mentioned it, Matt, on Twitter.
Yep.
And then I'm like, what time did you really get there? And she sent a text that simply said 3 a.m., but the way that text read to me was, 3 a.m., you idiot. I said what I said. And yeah, she went there to Costco at 3 a.m.
in the morning
to wait. And she said she was 10th in line.
Yeah, I saw her. I spotted her right away when I got there. And yeah, she was among the people that had clearly camped out the night before. They had lawn chairs and blankets and everything. I was thrilled to be in front of, behind me in line all morning, where this group of women who probably in their 30s, clearly Jason Momoa fans. And with them, for some reason, there was a much older woman, maybe pushing 80, whom they only referred to throughout the day as Granny. Now, Granny, I don't know why they dragged Granny along to this, but Granny was complaining the entire time.
Oh, great. Oh, God.
Granny had like no Batman idea who better. This guy was. Granny was just like, I don't know who this guy is. What am I doing here? And as the hours went by, Granny got more and more irritated. Oh, no. And it was just kind of delightful. And like I said, that's why I'm there, for that kind of inline excitement. An older woman complaining that she doesn't know who this guy is, why she's there in the first place. Granny was a real delight. She got close to like just leaving at the end, but I think her friends, her granddaughters or whoever it was, they kind of stepped out of line and had a quick smoke break. So that calmed Granny down. And so shout out to Granny if you're out there.
And those are the kind of experiences you get when you read Milwaukee Record. I mean, I've had the luck of being a part of an article where me and Tyler, other co-founder Tyler Moss, went to, at the time, the only Taco Bell that served alcohol in, it was the Taco Bell Cantina. And the title was, how much, I think it was something like, how much you have to drink at Taco Bell to get drunk. And it's almost impossible. The drinks are so expensive. There's so little alcohol and there are a lot of slushies, so you're just brain freezing the entire time.
Oh, great.
But that was that's my plug for the Milwaukee Record. Folks, if you are out there, you know, check out the Milwaukee Record. What else is going on in Milwaukee? I got an email about casseroles.
Casseroles. Let's talk casseroles.
Oh, let's.
This is a big thing.
Yes.
Yes. Hot dish, if for some out there who call it hot dish. At Milwaukee Record, we just never sleep. We are always coming up with new, ridiculous events. And by we, I mean Tyler usually does these things. I say, yeah, sounds good. And then I show up.
You're just looking down your desk. Uh-huh.
All right. Yep. I'm like, yep, sounds good. Casserole, great. So, yes, we are doing a big, what we're calling a casserole call, December 10th, Sunday, December 10th, at Central Waters Tap Room. That's the former Pabst Pilot House in the Brewery District on Juneau. And this is a big casserole kind of competition. We are going to determine Milwaukee's best casserole. Now, if you're familiar with WMSC's annual Rockabilly Chili event that they've been doing for years, this is kind of like that, except not with chili, but with casserole. So we're going to have about a dozen, in the end, about a dozen local restaurants and folks who are going to bring some casserole. You buy a ticket to get in. You will get three free samples with your ticket. And you can buy extra samples for only $1 each. And yeah, at the end, we're gonna vote on who has the best casserole. So it's going to be a great time.
That sounds amazing.
Now, is the whole, anyone who attends gets to cast a vote? Or is there going to be a panel of highly qualified casserole judges?
The voting will be done by the people.
This is
truly the people's casserole event. So it's very, very exciting. And I should mention, of course, that a portion of the proceeds will go to the Kinship Community Food Center. So it is for a good cause.
Oh, great.
And yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And it's, this is mainly Tyler's thing. 99.9% of our events are Tyler's things. But I'm always really proud of like what we come up with, kind of coming up with these kooky, zany events that just didn't exist before and pulling them off. So really looking forward to that.
This is gonna have a long life, this casserole competition. This is going to have legs, Matt, I'm telling you.
I hope so. Thank you, Jane. Yes. I think it's, you know, we're kind of starting small this year, but hopefully it's going to expand as we go on.
Matt Wild from the Milwaukee Record has been our guest. Thank you so very much, Matt. We really, really appreciate it. Stay with us when we come back. A chicken in every backyard. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio WLAK 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field. What the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. 20 minutes past 11 o'clock. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always call or text in at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
And if you're watching on the stream on Twitter or YouTube or Facebook, you can also comment on the live stream like Gigi, who is saying hello from Europe. Good morning, Gigi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Thank you for listening to the show.
You're married to a man from overseas. Was that a good impression?
No.
I'm a British person. Hello.
There are so many different accents in England.
Yeah.
That are wildly different.
Is that so, Gabriel?
No, that's not like any
of them. Oh, I'm wrong. No, I'm sorry.
No, stop.
Would you want to get fish chips?
Okay.
Sorry.
A chicken in every yard, everybody. Yes, it may soon be possible. A bill is being circulated in Madison looking for co-sponsors that would require local governments to allow the keeping of up to 4 chickens, geese, ducks, quail, or guinea fowl. The bill notes that permits can be required, also neighbor notifications, a ban on roosters.
Yeah.
And specifications on where you can house the birds on your property.
I would rather have a permit because I don't want to knock on everyone's door. Because I know people be like, no. I'm like, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway.
I don't see why this would. Again, we're not talking about roosters who are going to wake you up in the middle of the night. What would be the issue if it's only 4 chickens?
I mean, honestly, I can see people saying like, oh, it makes us look like we're a farm. Or like, it might be more aesthetic than it is, you know, how it really, really hampers your life. I can see that. I mean, people complain about everything.
This is true.
Yeah.
In Wausau, they passed their chicken ordinance in 2017 after months of debate and delays.
Mm-hmm.
Some members were asked, if we approve chickens, does that mean I get to keep a cow in my yard next? No.
Ugh.
No. The author of the bill, Shay Sortwell from Trivers, says this measure is about empowering Wisconsin residents to raise their own food if they want to.
Yeah.
And of course, this does not mean you get to keep a cow in your backyard.
Honestly, I mean, well, no, they make noise and they need more space, but I wouldn't even care about that either. Like the chicken issue is one of those completely non-issues to me. I don't care. When I worked in Racine, they were working for so long to get a chicken ordinance going. I'm like, why is this so controversial? Why does anyone care?
Well, again, I'm sure there's odor issue. You know, we have to make sure that there's no odors. We have to make sure they're not running free down the streets. You know, they have to be confined in some way.
I could name 10 people I knew back in those days whose kids smelled. So,
so smell is not an issue.
Yeah, I don't care. Live
as
your
far
life.
As the chickens go.
Especially if you want to raise your own food and you want to eat, like you want to do urban farming. Yeah. Right.
Well, and I've read things from people who keep chickens who say that they actually become pets.
Yeah.
So they may take the eggs from their chickens, but they're not eating their chickens.
Until they become dinner.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Angie from Wisconsin. Good morning, Angie. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to talk. I have chickens, but I live out in the country. I'm lucky enough. My hens, I just want to let you know, are louder than my roosters after they lay an egg. They have this saying that they lay an egg and they got to tell the world that they just laid an egg. So I'm just letting you know.
It's like, but Angie, it's like, look what I just did. This is an amazing feat that I just accomplished. Everyone should come and look at my egg.
It may have had the hens are more like, oh, what did I do today? Nothing. I just laid some eggs. No big deal.
Do you consider them pets?
Oh, definitely. I would never eat any of mine. And they're actually addicting. And I don't know if you realize this. There's a thing called chicken math. It's where you go to buy four chickens and you end up with 14, you know, stuff like that. And it's a real thing, too.
Yeah.
And I started out with 4. 3 years later, I have over 50.
Wow.
They're addicting. They're addicting. They're so cute.
See, and I get for most, you know, I don't think a lot of people would have any idea that chickens are adorable.
I mean, they're cute. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good luck. But Angie, what do you do with all those eggs if you have 50 chickens?
Actually, I share my eggs. I don't just sell them. If someone can afford to give me a couple bucks, then that's fine. But a lot of times I give the eggs away.
Good for you.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you so much for calling, Angie. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. We're talking chickens. Larry from Madison. Good morning, Larry.
Yeah, good morning. Great program. Hey, I'm in a semi-rural area in southern Dane County, and our neighbors had probably 16 chickens, two doors down, but that was great. We started buying chicken feed. They would come across 2 yards to get to us, and they were great. It was wonderful.
So you don't have a problem with people having chickens in their backyards?
The only thing I would take exception to, the way that the ordinance is written, apparently, you have to find a recording of guinea fowls.
What?
If you think a rooster is bad, guineas. Oh, my God. We used to have a group of 4 of them going around our small community. And if you think a rooster is bad, listen to a guinea.
We will get, we'll look for that so we can share the sound of guinea fowls. I
would say the chickens I have no problem with.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Larry, thank you so much for calling. Have a great day. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, talking about a measure looking for a co-sponsor in Madison that would allow people anywhere in Wisconsin to have up to 4 chickens in their backyard. Also guinea fowl, a couple of other things, not cows. That's not what they're talking about, having cows. Tony from Wisconsin Rapids. Good morning, Tony.
Hi, good morning. So we used to have, we thought it was 4 female chickens out on a farm that we lived in Warren's area. And come to find out, Henrietta was really Henry. And he was very mean, very, very mean. Ultimately, sadly, all of our chickens were lost to Fox. But he was very mean. And now I currently DoorDash in the Wisconsin Rapids area. Sometimes I have to go out to different places. They have chickens. They have roosters.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there having to battle roosters delivering food.
Wow.
And they bite. They're mean. They will chase you. They, like, hunt. They prowl. Like, it's crazy.
I've heard the same thing about geese. People trying to deal with geese, too. Geese can be really,
Birds
really.
Birds are mean.
They can be really aggressive.
That's funny, because Greg called yesterday about a gerbil named Henry that was actually a girl named Henrietta. Now we have a Henrietta that should be a Henry. It's amazing.
The circle of life. Thank you so much for calling, Tony. Watch your back when you're out there delivering food. Be careful. We're going to keep clucking about this if you want to check in.
Oh.
It was easy. It was there. I had to take it. 844-967-2789. Cindy, don't hang up. We will be right back after the news. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Woo!
With you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities there say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. A Door County woman is thankful for all the help she's getting from her neighbors. Stephanie Laskonski of Bailey's Harbor is a mother of six who's paralyzed from the chest down due to several autoimmune diseases. She's getting donations collected from spectators at yesterday's Thanksgiving Day parade in Jacksonport. The community chooses one family in need to benefit each year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A small company creates a big business because of its leftover Thanksgiving turkey and what it means to meals today. An Instacart survey shows 98% of grocery store shoppers buy a half dozen frozen meals every year. But in 1954, it takes an over-order by Swanson Foods for the idea of a reheatable dinner to become reality. Employees at the time are facing 260 tons of extra turkey, and rather than eat the huge financial loss, individual turkey dinners are created using airline meals as an example. Each tray includes the turkey along with dressing, potatoes, gravy, and peas in individual sections. It's frozen, shipped off to grocery stores, and before the end of the year, 10 million of these trays, now being called TV dinners, are sold at just 98 cents apiece. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 28. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 18 tonight, cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 30. A dusting of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 19.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
We are sick and tired of being promised this and that.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bright. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and joining us on the stream. Good morning, our friend Joe Zopecki. How you doing, sir?
Hey, sports fans. Good to see your beautiful faces.
Good to see you, buddy.
Joe's beautiful face.
It's been a
Greg's
while.
Greg's is kind of hard to find.
You know what?
Behind that beard.
How many kids do you have, Joe?
Two.
You have two. That's how we started off the show. We were talking about the decreased birth rate in America, which has been going on for several decades. And then I stumbled on this thread yesterday on Twitter where men have all the answers on as to why women aren't having enough children. And one guy basically said that American women are weak.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch that, but I did see some speculation that we have found the cure to this problem.
And the cure is?
If Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce make a baby, that will provide the jolt to the birth rate that America needs.
You think all the Swifties then will decide it's time for them to marry and have children?
Those aren't my words. That was someone on the internet who is very excited about the relationship of our time. Those star-crossed lovers, those crazy kids.
Those crazy kids.
It's amazing how many she's dated over the past almost 20 years in music. She has dated a lot of different celebrity guys, but this is the one that's really sticking. That's the wrong choice words. Not sticking. This is the one we care about the most, apparently. Like, no one cared about Jake Gyllenhaal. No one cared about John Mayer. No one cared about, like, they didn't care until after they broke up and she wrote songs about them. But man, we want this to work as a country.
And I think there's two reasons for that. And I know this is exactly why you wanted me on, was to offer my takes on popular culture and Taylor Swift.
Always.
But this, you know, this isn't that much of a surprise if you think back to her early stuff where she's writing songs about, you know, she's cheer captain and I'm in the bleachers.
Yeah.
And there's always sort of been that sort of want, that feeling like she wasn't quite the cool kid, even though she's like the coolest kid literally in the world right now.
Right. Yeah.
And so, my better half may have shared with me, apparently at a show this week, Taylor is playing with the lyrics to that song.
Yes.
And saying like, he's a Chiefs player. And so like, and then his face lights up and it's just, you know what? There is so much to feel down and depressed and anxious and worry about. The fact that any of us can hold on to these young lovers and, you know, hoping that these crazy kids make it and rooting for them.
Yeah.
God love it.
If you want some shots of pure joy, get on Swift Talk or Instagram Reels where Swift is happening, because it's just like, it's joy. It's fun. It's just, that's what's good stuff.
Is your daughter all into Taylor? Is she a Swiftie?
Both my daughter and wife went to the Swift show in Chicago.
Nice.
I would say that my wife is more of a fan than daughter, but
pretty close.
But who's counting?
Right. Pretty close.
I'm sure your wife would be if you challenged it.
Yeah. Well, she was. I suggested we go see the movie on Sunday. It was the last day it was playing.
Yeah.
And she was the one who was like, I don't know, I'm pretty tired, because she went to see Kesha with our daughter the night before.
Well, I mean, she also saw,
because they're the cool ones in this house.
She also saw it live. Like, if I went to go see like my favorite, like, hey, let's go see a reunited Pink Floyd in concert. Like, yeah, heck yeah. I'd be like, you want to go see in the theater now? Like, no, I saw it already.
Yeah, been there, done that. I guess I could have gone by myself. And so, but to bring it all back, yes, the declining birth rate is both a national security issue and an economic security issue. I was doing some research about one of the things we're going to talk about, which is Donald Trump recruiting for a potential second term. One of the things that they are vetting for are people who want to decrease not only illegal immigration to this country, but legal immigration to this country. Hey, people, you want to save Social Security and Medicare? We need more Americans, whether that's through the legal immigration process, whether that's through upping that birth rate. This is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
Take it away.
Before we get to, we're going to talk about Project 2025 in a little bit. I wanted to start off though with the supremely hilarious code of ethics that our Supreme Court released yesterday.
So why do you say supremely hilarious?
Because there is no enforcement arm. There is no oversight body to make sure they behave themselves. It's just, we wrote a bunch of rules to govern ourselves, and this is what we've always followed. We didn't, I don't know, you've been bugging us, and now we felt like we had to write them down, and so we did, but, you know, just trust us, because we're fine. We're good. We're all good.
So I guess my question, my reaction would be, is something better than nothing?
But it's still, it's a nothing burger if nothing can be enforced.
But here's what we've shown. We have shown that great reporting and transparency into what these justices are doing can change behaviors. And the outcry over it can change behaviors. Hold on.
Okay.
In that for 248 years is how long the Supreme Court has existed. There has not even been this. And now for the first time, even with their weird, annoying, obnoxious, gaslighting, you know, introductory page, we've always lived by this.
Yes.
Like that I'm here to dunk on, okay? But the fact that they have done this and put it to paper is progress. It doesn't mean that all of the problems are solved, but it is a step forward in terms of the court's operations, and it is now another thing with which to demand and hold people accountable. It's still going to take great reporting from outlets like ProPublica and others. It's still going to take probably the threat of the U.S. Senate and folks like Dick Durbin saying, you got to get your own house in order or we're going to do it for you. But I worry that when we jump to say it's not good enough, it's not great enough, it's not perfect, since when has making perfect the enemy of the good been the right approach? This is something. Something is better than nothing. And, you know, it doesn't mean the fight is over, but it's progress.
Okay.
I'll give you that. Now
they're here to dunk on me.
No, you say it doesn't solve all the problems. This doesn't solve any of the problems because nothing's been solved yet. This is just a...
it's a public relations stunt.
Exactly. And to me...
negotiation.
When someone is held accountable, then I'll be like, all right, here we go. But for right now, it's a press release. That's all it is to me. Are they going to use these? Are they going to use these things that they are putting forward in their reform to hold justice accountable in what's happening right now? Great. Then cool. I'm on board. I'm here for it. I want it to happen. But to me, it just seems like a PR stunt because all nine of them got together and said, we're fine.
We're good. We've always been good. It's all good. Taking $275,000 from a donor, it's good. And all I think this is going to do, Joe, is make them, some of them, even craftier about getting away with it. I think now they're going to have to be like, oh gosh, now they're actually kind of watching us. So we have to really do this on the down low if you're going to buy me off.
Man, you guys have been beaten down. Let me tell you. I write myself a note. It's right here. I look at it every day. You can't see it. But what it says is every day choose joy, hope, and optimism. At some point, we have to say, like, at least we're moving in the right direction as opposed to falling further and further behind. Like, if your expectation was that what accountability in the next chapter in this story was going to look like was that Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas we're going to be shamed off of the Supreme Court and just go, oh my gosh, you caught me with my hand in the cookie jar and we will resign and there will be two vacancies and the U.S. Senate will put in place some ironclad, you know, thou shalt not series of policies. And that was going to be the next chapter of this. I think you may have been expecting too much.
A girl's got a dream, Joe. Girl's got a dream.
And this girl had absolutely no intention of thinking that would happen at all. Like I said, I want something to happen with them, whether it's even just like put a note in their permanent record. I don't know. But like I wasn't expecting them to step down from the bench, but I do expect there to be some sort of equality in its oversight that the Senate and the House are maybe held to. I don't see why there can't be oversight from other branches. And I don't think it's I'm not cynical about it either. I'm skeptical. I also like to choose joy and happiness and all those things. But when nine people say we're doing okay in the face of what looks like grand corruption, and all they do is say, all right, here's the first step. Okay, here's the first step. Show me the next step then. That's what I want to see in this country.
Amen to that, brother. And let's take the example, right? So all bodies, organizations have mechanisms of self-policing, right? That they're supposed to keep their own house in order.
Sure.
For example, Congress has ethics committees that are supposed to investigate their own members and police their own body. And when someone very special, like Congressman George Santos, comes along, the ethics committee launches a probe and they do an investigation, and they have an ability to police their own membership as a body. And George Santos is still in Congress.
Yes, he is.
So there are also outside actors that play an accountability role. The Justice Department, he's under indictment. That has, you know, that will play itself out in due time. So there needs to be both internal and external accountability when it comes to the Supreme Court, as there needs to be internal and external accountability in all organizations. I'm just choosing today to say that the fact that there is now at least a document, at least some process in place for internal accountability, may actually make it easier for there to be that external accountability for members of Congress or the Judiciary Committee to say things like, this is what you wrote down and put your name to, and now you are not living up to it. What am I supposed to go home and tell my constituents, so it can actually foster down the road some additional accountability? And it's a long road to get there, but at least we're now like on a path.
Yeah.
I would say.
And I think I'm in agreement with you, because you're seeing the next steps. You are creating the next steps. I want to see them in real life, and then I'll get there to that point. Yeah. But for right now, yeah.
I suppose it was a little much to hope for that Clarence Thomas would drive his motor home in front of the Supreme Court and just leave the keys, and then $275,000 in cash, and giving it back.
Wow,
to Harlan Crow.
You are really good at being,
I have dreams.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is, what you're doing right now is exactly what Joe told you to do. He told you to have hope.
See, Joe. Okay, you won me over. Today, I choose optimism. Yes.
We did it.
In this moment, it probably won't last all day. It'll probably just be.
It won't last till the end of the segment. What are you talking about, Jan?
Yeah, well, she knows what the next segment is, too.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Oh, and did you hear the latest from the Whoop 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 Boing conference? What happened in the House today? Oh, there was
the shoving match.
The shoving match and the little chasing back and forth between Kevin McCarthy and who am I?
Some guy we've never heard of.
Yeah, some other House Republican.
It's like greasers and the socias all over again.
Greg's gonna be able to help me here, I think. Yeah. There's some movie that is like, there's echoes in my brain of like
The Outsiders.
You know what tough guys do? You know what tough guys do? Right, tough guys, and then it's insert. Oh, you push people in the back when they're not
expecting it.
What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a tough guy. You want to be a tough guy? You know what tough guys do? Not what Kevin McCarthy did.
A big dude. If he hit you, I'd fall over. Oh,
The reporter said that he shoved this other congressman right into her, and then he turned around and started chasing after McCarthy. So,
I hope that's on video.
Boing.
I hope that's on.
Do the listeners
somewhere.
And viewers not know how big Greg is? Greg, you are a bigger man than Kevin McCarthy is.
He's taller than me.
Stand your ground.
I think he's taller than me. I have a better center of gravity because I'm just chunkier, but he is like distributed well.
Joseph Pecky will be with us when we get back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
At Simply Safe, your safety is the only thing that matters. Introducing 24/7 LiveGuard protection, only from Simply Safe Home Security. Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response.
Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/radio. Advanced Home Security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Sit up, sit up, sit up. It's a kangaroo core. Kangaroo core.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bright. Calvin on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. Joining us on the stream, the one and only Joe Zepecki. Joe, let's talk about Project 2025. It's really pretty terrifying, isn't it?
It's pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
Have you discussed this at all with the...
We have not.
Because this has been in the works for a little bit here. So Project 2025 is a plan by not just former President Trump, but the Trump MAGA wing of the Republican Party, which is to say a lot of it, almost all of it, including long-standing organizations like the Heritage Foundation and others who are cooking up the next step of a plan that in the waning months of the first Trump administration, he tried to enact. And that was the largest change to the hiring practices of the federal government in, God, generations. I mean, you know, 70 years since this big a thing had happened. And this gets a little in the weeds, so I want to try to figure out how best to like explain to people what this is. And, well, and I'll use my own experience as an entry point for this. So
perfect.
I was a political appointee in Barack Obama's first term. So what that means is when Barack Obama was elected, or when Joe Biden was, or Donald Trump, they get to hire out staff, not just in the West Wing of the White House, but across the federal government. And there have historically been about 4,000 jobs. There are 2 million federal employees, right? So you get to bring about 4,000 folks with you from the campaign, from, you know, the private sector who share your values, et cetera.
Sure.
And so like the agency that I worked at, which was the Small Business Administration, which has employees on the ground in every single state across the country and territory. At that agency of several thousand people, there were like 15 to 20 of us, tops, maybe not
even 20. That were Obama appointees.
That were Obama appointees. And so, you know, our job was to run the agencies and try to implement the president's agenda. And sometimes that ran into career civil servants and federal officials who would say, actually, you can't do that. And here's why, right? Like, it's the federal government. Everything goes through a legal review. You know, you are a federal employee. You are not allowed to politic on government time. That would be taking money from taxpayers, right? So like
they set up the guardrails, right, Joe?
Exactly. And listen, it can be frustrating. I totally get that. But it's a really important part of protecting, you know, the civil service and the bureaucracy and the government of the United States. So what Trump in, I think, October, like just before he lost the election, he tried to create a new class of public servant, Schedule F, that what that would have done was made it easier for political appointees and the president to fire civil servants. It would essentially have removed their protections that they have through their unions and through established protocols and procedures over time. So for example, if I as an employee at SBA said, we want to do a loan program that gives out, loans to businesses that display an Obama sticker in their window on the door, like a Better Business Bureau thing, but instead it's the Obama hope signal.
Sure.
And in it, and if an attorney said, no, 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 you can't do that, and here's why, that I could just go, or someone could just go, well, I don't like that answer. I think you're wrong, attorney, so you're fired. And I'm going to replace you with someone who shares my belief in, you know, and my politics. And that's messed up.
Well, it's essentially making sure that you can do whatever it is you want to do, whether it's legal or not.
Correct. And so 4,000 is what it has been in terms of political appointees. The estimates are that this Schedule F would apply to 50,000, so more than 10 times as many officials throughout the government. That is problematic for a number of reasons. You know, among them, and I was looking at, this has been great reporting by Jonathan Swan from Axios, is that, you know, these folks are saying that they're being, this is Swan's reporting, prescriptive about what gets a person on the list.
Yep.
They want applicants who want to cut not just illegal, but also legal immigration into the United States. They favor people who are protectionist on trade and anti-interventionist on foreign policy. They must be eager to fight the culture war. Credentials are almost irrelevant.
So you don't have to be qualified to be an appointee. You just have to agree with their ideology and you're good.
Apparently. And so what they're doing is coming up with lists of people who meet these particulars, you know, thousands and thousands of names who are ready to go day one. And they are being quite candid that they don't expect that they'll have 50,000 names ready to go should President Trump be reelected, or, you know, get elected a second time next November. What they're saying is that the mere threat of being able to fire these officials and replace them will kowtow them into doing what they want. So in the hypothetical I dreamed up, as opposed to saying, you can't tell me I can't do that, I'm going to fire you, because that staff counsel goes, oh my God, if I don't give him the answer he wants, I'm going to lose my job and my livelihood, that will pressure them to say yes more readily.
This is really dangerous and very, very frightening. I can't think of anything worse than the president of the United States being surrounded by nothing but yes people. You need you need someone to can talk truth to you. If it's just wrap your heads around this, folks. This is really bad.
He no longer has those people. And so this is also from this reporting from Jonathan Swan. Trump has reduced his circle of advisors and expunged nearly every former aide who refused to embrace his view that the 2020 election was stolen. He spends significant amounts of his time talking to luminaries of the Stop the Steal movement. Daughter Ivanka's son-in-law, Jared, are no longer involved. One former senior advisor notes that January 6th was the crucible and that the treatment Trump meted out, especially to his own vice president, changed the landscape. Even if you're a true believer, you see what happens to people.
Joe, we're
messed up.
Yeah, this is messed up. And we're going to have you back so we can do a longer segment about this and really explain just how dangerous this is to our democracy. But anyway, thanks for carving out some time. Joe Zepecki, really appreciate it. Say hi to your lovely wife from me and stay with us. Coming up at 11:06, there is a new scam the Better Business Bureau wants you to know about. And we're going to talk about things I've fallen for scams.
One. I probably fell in for more.
So we'll take your calls as well. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Ike Ajachi. Hamas released the first batch of hostages to the Red Cross. That group is now headed to Egypt and then Israel. ABC's Matt Gutman in Tel Aviv says,
this is a very good first sign that this hostage swap is starting to take place as planned.